I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, Megan, exciting news. Just like Shane Simpson, Kim Kardashian passed the bar exam.
The baby bar, but yes.
Oh, the baby bar. Okay.
It's very exciting.
Do you think she passed because they lowered it, as Gina referenced?
Okay, so I don't know if they actually did, because it's a different bar. Like, the way she's doing it, because she's not going to law school,
yeah,
is I think she takes two different tests, two different bar exams. This
okay.
is the baby bar, so this one actually has a harder pass rate. So I don't know if they did or not. I'm going to say they didn't, though.
Well, I am proud of her either way.
Yeah, of course.
And honestly, I feel a little inspired. Like, could I pass the baby bar?
Would you want to? Would you want to do all that studying?
I don't know, because I took a law class in college, and I did very well. I did better than my friend who became a lawyer in that class. And so maybe there's something there that I just never fully explored, and this could be my side hustle.
It does make me think, though, I was such a bad student, because I always had sort of FOMO when studying. Like, I didn't want to be studying. I wanted to be doing something fun.
Instead of studying. You
right.
didn't have FOMO for studying.
No,
you had
no,
FOMO
no.
for the other stuff.
For the other stuff. But so now I don't really have a life. I feel like I'd be a really good student. Like, what else am I going to do but study?
I know.
It's sad. All that potential. But you know what? You meet a lot of people in New York with really fancy degrees.
Yeah. Multiple fancy degrees.
And sometimes I'm like, but like, we have the same job. And I went to a state school.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah. Well, Christmas is 1 week away. And if you still have shopping to do, you have to check out the virtual Bravo Bazaar. We've been talking about this. You can get a gift for the Bravoholic in your life, especially if that Bravoholic is you.
It's an interactive experience where you can shop your favorite Bravo celebrity brands all in one place.
We're talking Real Housewives, Below Deck, Southern Charm, Summer House. This is a whole new way to shop your favorite Bravo shows.
I mean, it's products from Bravo celebs like Candy Burris, Wendy Osefo, Meredith Marks, Jill Zarin, the cast of Family Karma, and so much more.
Visit bazaar.bravotv.com and start strolling through the virtual Bravo sphere on your mobile or desktop device.
The virtual Bravo Bazaar is the perfect destination for any Bravoholic's gift-giving needs this holiday season. At Bazaar, that's bazaar.bravotv.com.
Okay, what are we recapping today?
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah.
And Porsche's Family Matters.
Absolutely. And of course, we'll wrap up with Rose and Thorn. Salt Lake?
Yes.
Well, we finally get Jen Shah.
Yes.
First thing that struck me, Jen says, quote, I didn't think I needed an attorney or anything, end quote.
I didn't think I needed an attorney or anything like that because I didn't do anything.
I feel like if a cop showed up here and asked me anything, I'd say, I need a lawyer. Because I have watched enough shows
mm-hmm.
to know, don't talk to anyone.
Absolutely. And it's not like she was pulled over.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think I'd be scared to talk without an attorney present for anything, let alone if these insane charges are coming at me.
It's just bizarre, because for her to say that and to see Lisa Barlow in the bus call six different lawyers to check in on what was happening, why wouldn't Jen's initial reaction be, oh my God, I'm not going to say anything and I need a lawyer present? That's a number one thing that happens when you are arrested. It's like, that's where your mind should go.
But do you think she's just saying it? Like, she's putting on a bit of an act, like, well, I didn't even think I needed a lawyer because, like, what did I do?
Because I'm innocent. Exactly. There is elements of that. And especially when the conversation turns to Stu. And
yeah, that was crazy.
Well, it's especially crazy because at this point we know Stu has pleaded guilty. And even in this moment, which is months and months prior to this, Jen is starting to create that distance from him and be like, I don't know what he might have been involved with.
I didn't work with him.
What is he? You know what I mean? Is he your business partner?
No,
is he your assistant?
He's not my business partner. I mean, we're not partners in any business.
He's just doing
see what
more
a good
than
boss I am?
I feed you while you work, while you make me money, I feed you.
Stuart was my assistant, and we just developed a friendship.
Stuart had his own businesses he was running. He had his own things he was doing. That has nothing to do with me.
And we've seen her say she's his boss?
We've seen her feed him a banana. So they are obviously extremely close. And we know Jen did have multiple businesses. Maybe Stu had multiple businesses. What she's trying to create is, I don't know what he could have been doing with those over there. I know what we did together. What he did over there, that's not me. Which is, obviously, if she is trying to protect herself, that's the best way to go about it.
It'd be like if you got charged with something and I was like, no, like, I mean, we didn't really have a podcast together. Yeah, right. No, I mean, like, yeah, of course. No, sometimes we sat down together. We had a mic in front of us. But like, no, it was not like, we had a podcast together. Yeah, yeah.
Listen, if you got to protect yourself at any point, I do not blame you. I will say, Jen, talking about the fear she had for her sons when the police came to her house, guilty, innocent, whatever she may be, that fear is valid. And that moment, especially seeing the footage from the Ring camera, which she did have to turn over, I would imagine, by the way, just that whole part of the conversation felt the most authentic, Jen. And when she talks about her kids and her family, that is when I think we see the most authentic Jen.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, when she's talking to her husband over a meal of Popeyes about, you know, possibly not seeing them for many years.
Yeah. She's got the support. Sharif is like, I'm with you through all this.
Yeah.
What else is he supposed to do?
I know, but okay, what was your feeling during that conversation? Like, I guess it struck me as odd that she was like, I didn't do this. And he was like, okay.
Yeah.
We're stronger than you think. My faith will not falter and I will not leave you. Period.
I don't understand why this is happening.
I just imagine that me as a partner or my partner would be like, of course you didn't. Don't you think that's odd that he didn't react that way?
We have to imagine they've had conversations prior to this filming moment, right? So maybe in things that he has said to her already, he didn't feel like he needed to overcompensate in this moment. But that did read kind of funny on camera. Yeah. The other thing that's really interesting about that conversation and even her conversation with Heather is, not to always bring it back to Erica and what happened on Beverly Hills, but the self-centering of it all and not mentioning victims. And obviously when things are in the thick of it and you have lawyers and there's all of these charges, when you start talking about victims, that could lead you down a path of being like, oh, well, that's showing that there might be guilt there. And I understand not addressing it, but it's also going to be that elephant in the room through the rest of the season until Jen does say something like, if this did happen to these people, I feel horrible, but I didn't do it. But if you continue to self-center in all of it, that's not going to read well with the audience. And we learned that lesson the hard way with Erica.
Yeah. What do you think about the fact that Heather was the only one who picked up Jen's call?
It doesn't surprise me because that is Heather. That's who she is, and that's who she has been to Jen for a long time now. Meredith was never going to answer. I'm sure Jen didn't even call Meredith. Lisa, I'm on the fence about. I can understand Lisa wanting to create this distance for now, but who else is Jen going to call? It's not going to be Mary.
Right.
Not going to be Whitney. Heather's the only one she can really count on, and I think at this point she should kind of know that.
I thought it was interesting how the women said to Heather, well, so do you believe that Jen isn't guilty? And her answer was, I really hope she's not.
Do you believe her?
I hope and pray she's innocent. Mm-hmm. For her, for her family, and for all of us, because like I wouldn't wish this on any family.
Which doesn't necessarily reveal what Heather believes.
Right.
And we do know from her appearance on Watch What Happens Live earlier this season, Heather has said, I knew Jen's business was unsavory, was the word that she used, but I didn't think it was illegal. So there are elements to what Jen has done professionally that Heather has always questioned, but I think she's allowed her friend the benefit of the doubt, and even now, through this whole arrest and these charges and everything, she's still extending that grace to her, which is more than most people will do.
Right.
And everyone's going to deal with this situation differently. I mean, Meredith was pretty much wiping her hands clean of Jen prior to this arrest. They had sort of worked through some things, apologized, she sat down with Brooks, whatever. But that relationship is never going to be what it could have been.
Right.
I want to talk about Whitney.
Okay.
She is laying it all out there for us. She is basically letting us all know, I have spent my college funds for my kids. I have spent our savings. I've done it all.
Okay. Did you watch the LuLaRoe docuseries?
No.
Okay, you should.
Okay.
You'd like it. But it's a similar thing in that I see here, where these women, without telling their husbands, are like, I have sunk all of our savings into this thing. How do you do something like that without talking to your spouse?
Well, and don't banks maybe put a little red flag up if one person is the one moving money around? Obviously, like, I don't know because I don't have that level of money. But there must be something along the way that if Whitney is accessing a joint account and being like, spend, spend, spend.
Well, and taking out loans.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say, though, is in that docuseries, a lot of marriages ended. And so, I mean, it's something, if you mess with someone's money, that's hard to come back from.
Yeah. I mean, you're putting a lot at risk. It's not just your personal brand, your personal savings or anything. She's talking about her whole family.
Yeah.
But she is being very open and honest, upfront, revealing about it on the show, which I appreciate.
Yeah, that's true. I just liked how Jenny was at the photo shoot and was like, I didn't see a single product.
That was very confusing.
Yeah.
It was all Iris and Bo.
Right.
So where is the rebrand?
But where's the actual product? Right. You know, like, you can't just show a pillow fight and then people know that's skincare.
I guess, according to Karen Huger, we are in the discovery phase.
Maybe.
Of the product, perhaps. Yeah, Whitney might be going a little bit out of order with this whole thing. But maybe I'll go buy some.
Yeah.
Whitney Rose, just to help her out.
I wonder if it's at the Bravo Bazaar.
It might be. I hope so. The Meredith and Lisa tension. I'm worried about these two.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll make it through the season.
I know you love Lisa, but the problem with her is she wants no accountability for anything. And Meredith has a hard time with that.
She does.
Meredith is like a realist. She's like, look, we all play a part in the dynamics of this group. And Lisa's like, no, 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 I am perfect.
Which I think she is.
Yeah.
It is interesting because she keeps pointing fingers back at Whitney and Heather, Bad Weather, Spin the Truth. We heard all that last season, right?
That is the dumbest insult I've ever heard, by the way.
It's poetic, I think. But she keeps putting it back on them. And is there a world in which maybe they are doing a little too much? There is something about Whitney's, I don't want to call it an obsession with Lisa, but this fascination, this just constant bringing everything back to her. And I don't see Lisa being the one orchestrating everything behind the scenes. I don't know.
Okay, I've not been listening because I've been thinking, what would be my thing that I would say to you if we were on reunion couches?
Oh my God, what would it be?
Eric J. Mack likes to attack.
Oh God. That's a good one. That's a good one. I'm trying to think of yours. Megan Segura is not so sure. That one's a bad one.
You keep thinking.
I'll work on that. I do think we will see some kind of alliance between Whitney and Lisa against Mary. There was some allusion to that and some of the things that Whitney was saying by the end of this episode.
I can't figure out where Lisa stands on all of that.
I know.
I am so confused by her.
I think she also is giving Mary the benefit of the doubt at this particular time, but that may shift when Whitney comes to her and says, look, I talked to Cameron. Everything you said was true, and then some.
Yeah.
I have a lot more information, and he's not the only one. And she may now be able to co-sign what Lisa said because she has that information directly.
Mm.
And that might put them both in a position where it's like, okay, maybe we should really hold Mary's feet to the fire with this because this could be much bigger than the conversation we had in Vail.
Right.
OC?
Yep.
Roller coaster of emotions in this episode for me.
Mm-hmm.
At the top, I got chills when Noella was talking about her son in such a beautiful, caring, evolved way. And then an adrenaline rush when she started talking about this tax debt. I was like, oh, now we're getting into it.
Which, once again, spouse is keeping from each other.
There you go.
And like him being like, yeah, I have this however many millions of dollar lien it was against him. What?
Oh, and by the end of this episode, Noella, her relationship, everything truly unravels.
Yes.
And not to be insensitive or a conspiracy theorist, but it's pretty convenient timing knowing that she's on a show. But do you think that being on the show might have caused him to react this way? Did he expect her being on reality TV would eventually expose him, so he's just accelerating this process?
Right. And did he film at all, I wonder?
We've only seen him on a billboard.
I don't know. I have to say, though, I have watched a little bit ahead. I am all in on Noelle. I really like her.
Mm.
I just, again, it's like what we were talking about even with Whitney and Salt Lake. You just appreciate when someone lays it all out.
Yeah.
And like Noella didn't try to hide any of this stuff. She's, you know, of course been in the dark herself, but she's just like, yeah, here is my really messed up life.
Do you think there's a chance that she herself was the one to leak the story to the blogs only because she wasn't known back in July quite as well as she would be after appearing on the show? So how would that get to the press?
Here's why I think she didn't.
Okay.
Because she has no access to the money right now. Why would she shoot herself in the foot like that?
Maybe she sold the story.
No.
Mm?
No. I don't think whatever a Radar Online or whatever would pay her would be equivalent to essentially child support.
True.
And like going to the grocery store money.
Yeah. All right. That's fair. Well, I hope somebody loans her a few bucks because she said she has no access to anything right now. Has their son.
Yeah.
Something's up with this guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it's like, were there no red flags along the way? Can someone really just turn like that? It's almost like in a movie or something where they were leading a double life and suddenly the person, you know what I mean? Except in this case, it doesn't seem like he has a double life. He just, well, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. There's this house in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a house somewhere else. I mean, where is this guy?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Shannon, Gina, Emily situation. Regardless of Shannon's intention with this whole mess, do you think Gina and Emily broke her trust?
Yes.
Okay, so that is clear to me. I don't know if Gina's seeing it that way.
Yeah.
And I don't really buy Gina's explanation for telling Heather.
Like, we're getting close, and I just felt weird keeping this from her.
Well, and because, oh, when Matt cheated on me, I went to her house, and everyone knew, and I was so embarrassed after the fact. That's obviously a deeply personal situation that Gina had to deal with, and unfair. Matt's, you know, that wasn't a good thing to do to her. But what does that have to do with Heather and Nicole and a lawsuit and a botched boob job? It just doesn't correlate to me.
Right. That was a sad story, though.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, I agree. I like Gina. I can't figure out why she isn't just like, yeah, my bad.
I know.
You know?
Well, it's because she has this rocky past with Shannon, but an established relationship going into this season. And to me, it's starting to look like, is she more interested in aligning herself with Heather, the new old head honcho of Real Housewives of Orange County? Is right. it a strategic move for Gina? I don't know if she's really approaching it like that, but maybe subconsciously she's like, oh, maybe I'll be a little bit safer over here. I don't know. I mean, Shannon told her and Emily this off camera. So for them to bring it up and out, I can understand why Shannon might feel a little abandoned by them.
Part of me also wonders if Gina sort of feels like last season was not great for OC, you know?
Mm.
And maybe she was like, we got to make sure this one is a good one.
That's true. That is a good point. And we do appreciate that. We appreciate you putting in work, Gina.
Yeah.
Even if we don't agree with you.
Right.
I also forgot how much Heather likes to speak.
Oh, do you? I mean, my God. And also just, she's so, I don't even know the word, but you know what I mean.
It's dramatic.
So, I don't care to hear any more of your rhetoric.
Shannon, I am surprised I'm just hearing from you now, but I don't care to adjudicate your behavior over the past few weeks via text, nor do I have time in my schedule to listen to more of your rhetoric.
I know, the buzzwords and also the top of the text was, I'm not even going to engage with this, was essentially the message. And then it was just this long,
and then it was just
winded
paragraphs of engagement.
I mean, you know, she is back and she's probably feeling bold, and she's giving Heather Dubrow fans exactly what they've been asking for.
Yeah.
So
it was funny. It reminded me that this writer I used to work with, his editor, she's talking about someone that she worked with, that worked under her, and she was like, ugh, and she wrote me this, like, really passive-aggressive email, and it was full of, you know, $4 words to, like, show Ooh. Me how smart she is. And, like, that sort of is the phrase that was running through my head when Heather was reading hers.
$4 words. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Because we work in a business and industry where communication is pretty much our whole jobs.
Right.
And sometimes when you need to get a message across, you have to just get to the point.
Right.
Right? And avoid anything that's superfluous and just going to get in the way of what you're trying to say. And I've tried to do that in many emails that I write every day. I try to shorten what I say. I write out everything that I want first, and then I reel it in. Right. I eliminate. That's how I pack my clothes, too, for a trip. I put everything out I want to take, and then I, you know, reduce the number of items.
Edit.
And then I edit. Yeah. Dr. Jen opens up about this horrible experience that is honestly one of my biggest fears in life, and that is a random, unpredictable accident. And she talks about how her dad died in this freak motorcycle bike accident.
My father died the day before I took the test to get into med school. It was a very traumatic experience. My dad was riding his bike, and a motorcyclist was going the wrong way on a one-way street and hit him. And he flew off his bike, and he hit his head and went into a concussion. When I feel like I'm gonna cry whenever I think about dad, I'm actually get happy that I have something so valuable to miss.
And those are the things that truly, as I get older, those are the things I get anxious about.
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer like, oh my God, I didn't get concert tickets. You know, it's like, random acts of violence and accidents can happen in life, you know?
I know.
It's scary. It's really scary.
Motorcycles are very dangerous.
Yeah. My dad has one.
My dad, I forbid him to buy one.
Well, that's good. I mean, my dad, you know, bought his Harley. He's very proud of it. He's had a motorcycle for probably almost 20 years at this point. I have not been on it once.
You know, we're not risk takers.
That's not for me.
We appreciate our lives, and we want to see them continue on.
Yes, exactly.
That said, I do want to go in a hot air balloon. I've been thinking about this a lot lately.
What?
I just have never done it.
Well, me neither. I don't think many people have.
And also gliding, which I realize is also very dangerous, but seems fun.
Gliding, I'm more behind because I feel like you have more control than a hot air balloon.
You're not just in a basket.
Yeah, you're not just in a hot basket floating through the sky. You are navigating, right? You know, gliding, would you be attached to something, or this is just jumping off a cliff and gliding to the bottom, right? Okay, yeah. Still risky.
Right.
Do you also have a parachute while you're gliding just in case?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really know a lot about it. What's the most dangerous thing you want to do?
I would go skydiving at one point. Statistically speaking, you're going to be fine. And everyone I know who has gone has said, oh, I was afraid. The worst part is right before you jump out. And then it is the biggest rush that you could possibly get in life. It's the closest any of us will get to flying, except for gliding, right. I guess. But I would definitely consider that maybe in like my 50s when I'm like looking for another thrill. You know, right now I'm just, I don't need a thrill.
Just surviving
right now. I'm just trying to get by these weeks. I would skydive.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, Portia.
Yes.
Who is your favorite family member so far? We got a lot of new characters to digest in these couple of episodes.
Yeah. I'm still with the drama-causing grandmother from last episode.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like whether she wanted to or not, she stirred it up.
Yeah, she did. She didn't make it on this trip, I don't think, which is a missed opportunity.
Right.
But there could be more from her to come. I've really taken to Londi. I think she is integrating into the show really well. She is participating, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
And she is very aware of the situation at hand, which is kind of uncomfortable for a lot of people involved. It's a bit of a shit show, and she is trying to get everybody together, much like Lauren. I think she and Lauren are a good pair. And we see them have this little adventure stealing the robe and all of that. So I've taken to Londi.
Yeah, she's great.
One thing that I wanted to mention to you is something we had talked about last week was Simon learning that he was someone who liked to take care of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about it in this episode, how when he found Portia, he had found someone that could take care of him and herself. She was already established and felt maybe to him more like an equal, and that there was a balance to their relationship. So I thought that was interesting that you made that observation and he tied it together for us in this episode.
Yeah, it immediately made me think like, oh, would my boyfriend describe me that way? Like as someone who takes care of him, you know, like, not as a majority of the relationship, but, you know, I do think that's like an important piece too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Simon was also the voice of reason in this whole Dennis, Gina situation when it came to inviting them on this trip. And obviously Gina can also get a little messy sometimes. And he basically said, it's better to have her there and to see everything happen than to not be present and speculate about what's going on.
Right, to be, he worded it really well, she should be, like, steeped in reality or something like that.
Right, right, which obviously she needs because I'm still unclear on this whole Miss Diane told her that Portia was talking to some guy and whatnot. What I've chalked it up to is it's the friends rule. The Ross and Rachel, we were on a break.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dennis cheated on Portia. I think Portia might have met up with somebody while they were on a break.
Right.
A mutually agreed upon break. So I think that's what the difference is.
Right.
I don't think Gina sees it that way.
So I guess you're on Ross's side then.
Yeah. Ross and Portia's side in this situation. Does this whole trip a little bit feel like it's about Dennis to you?
In what way do you mean?
That it's almost he's the center of attention and they're all trying to not cater to his needs, but adapt to fit him into it.
Mm.
And I think that's what Portia ultimately gets upset about at this dinner of like, well, did you all force Dennis here? Is he here for the right reasons? Why did we encourage this if he didn't come by his own choice and his own will, which ultimately I think he did.
Right.
Which he says in his interview. But it just, I understand Portia's frustration because I think she wants this trip to start off with the right energy, get everybody on the right foot, and that's not exactly how it begins.
Yeah.
So I get it.
I mean, it's tough. Like, would you want to go on this trip if you were Dennis? It's with your ex's family and her new fiance.
It seems to be it's Portia's way or the highway. And she expects Dennis to be there so that they can work on their relationship, their co-parenting. She wants her family to be there with Simon so that they can get to know him and learn to accept him. And it seems like Portia's only willing to be there so that everyone just accepts her life now.
Right.
And nobody really has a choice in the matter.
Right.
I think by the end of this episode, we may have a new, it's not about the pasta.
It's not about the robe.
It's not about the robe. And it's not about the robe.
It's not about the robe.
It's not.
Stop talking about the robe. Stop talking about, if anyone says robe again, go home. It's not about the robe.
The robe is a little gaudy too. Can we be honest?
Also, do you have anything from your exes?
No, I don't think so. Oh, well, yes, I do. I have like a vintage Disneyland Mickey Mouse tee. It's in my laundry.
And it was his, and you took it.
Yeah, but it wasn't like I took it in the morning, like when I was leaving on the walk of shame. It was like he was getting rid of clothes, and he was like, do you want this? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's cute.
Okay.
It's not a Versace robe, but I mean, I would imagine you have
something. I don't. Well, okay, actually, maybe one thing. But it was just a flannel shirt that he wore when he dressed up as Pete Davidson, and I was Ariana Grande.
And you're like, I'm keeping this.
I was like, well, he didn't want it, you know.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good one. A flannel's a good one.
Yeah.
It's always good to have.
Right.
Flannels. Speaking of other family members that I was taking to, but now I'm not so sure about, Cousin Storm.
Ah.
And it's revealed that she worked with Dennis.
Right.
And she's positioning it like, he was coming on to me. I don't know. Dennis is saying that was not the case. And she quit the job. She left the job because she was uncomfortable with Dennis. But he's like, she was just not a good worker. So there's a little discrepancy here that I hope we get to the bottom of on this trip. So I like Storm, but I don't trust her quite yet.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I really didn't think I'd be so team Dennis.
He seems like a great guy, except for the cheating.
Yeah. I think Portia feels the same way.
Yeah.
Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
I think my rose is just that we did get the filming of Vanderpump Rules reunion, and I'm really excited to hear what Lala has to say about the state of her and Randall's relationship.
I know.
Oh. So I can't wait.
I'm nervous.
Yeah. What's your rose?
I'm going to give my rose to Travis, Gina's boyfriend on Real Housewives of Orange County, because I don't know if it's me or if it's him, but he got hotter.
Mm.
He's looking fine.
It's you.
It's probably me. It's the red wine and charcuterie and the beer. I don't know, all of it together in this scene from this week's episode. I was just like, Travis, I see you. What was your thorn?
My thorn was, I feel like, my worst nightmare is what is happening to Shannon on Orange County with she got these injectables and now she has to dissolve them because her face still isn't the same. Ugh, it just seems awful all the way around.
Yeah.
So that's my thorn.
Too much.
What's your thorn?
Well, I'm going to give my thorn to Eddie on Below Deck again because at the end of this episode, he really dismisses Raina and her complaint about what happened. And
it didn't feel good.
It didn't feel right.
No.
And
terrible.
I hope by the end of the season, him watching it back now, he recognizes that that wasn't the right move.
And I think I'm like trying, like I think I'm already frustrated on another level. Like yesterday, Heather saying like pissed me all the way off.
I can understand that. I did not hear her say that. And I would have not been okay with her saying
that. I
know
you weren't there, but like Jake was
there. I was in the car.
No, it wasn't in the car.
Oh, it wasn't in the car.
It was once in the restaurant and then I told her like, you know, like you can't say these things.
No, you can't say those things. You need to take care of yourself and you need to stand up for yourself when need be. But it, when it comes down to just getting the job done,
yeah,
that's what this is about, is getting the job done.
Yeah.
Try to separate what's happening personally with what's happened on deck. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And you have the potential to move up in rank, Raina. You have it. You just need to focus.
Yeah.
Focus. Yeah.
We'll be back with a new episode next week. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.